Welcome into This Week in Missouri Politics, midweek update. The last midweek update of the year. Going to be, we're going to jump right into some things. We're going to talk about, we're going to do one look back at last year. We're going to look forward to next year. Let's start with the look back here. When you look back at who won the year, you got to say Governor Parson. I mean, if you look at the list of success and the litany of success that he's had, let's click these things off here. The guy was going to be the most pro-life governor ever. Now, there's no abortion in the state of Missouri. Zero. Every gun bill that you could see, we ever think of, passed. Cut taxes. Had a ag bill that couldn't get done in regular session twice. He comes out, has a special session. Everybody had some reservations. Nobody knew. I'm sure even they had to be a little worried that it might not go. Passed with, got everything he wanted in the ag bill plus some stuff. His Supreme Court appointee, Judge Ransom, was put up. Her investiture was this year. That's went very well. He's had two of his appointees previously got elected to higher statewide offices. He filled the other two spots with folks that are very qualified, very reasonable choices that even if you, you know, the folks that don't like him would be folks that wanted the job themselves, which is very understandable. But you click through the year, and I if this is not what success looks like, the state budget's flush, the unemployment's low. If you're governor of a state, this is what 10 on 10 success looks like. Governor Parson, by every possible metric, I don't know how you could say he's not doing a hell of a job. I don't know what, if you're a Republican governor, what on earth you could possibly want more than what 2022 was for Governor Mike Parson. He goes into his last 2 years as strong as any governor I can remember. Now, will there be some, you know, the last 2 years are going to be a struggle? Of course they are. They always are for anybody. Going to be for him too. But he goes into his stronger with more accomplishments than I think even he could have ever hoped for when he took office. I mean, if you could have laid out the events, the challenges he'd had to deal with, and say that you'd be, you know, 4 years in, setting where they're setting, I mean, it is an amazing run of accomplishments. Let's look ahead to next year. What's he got next year? Well, you'll have some folks that'll want to do some funding changes. You'll have some folks talking about property taxes. Look, they attach property taxes to this book, and this book's job, they didn't ask to be the people that set the rates, right? The book is what used cars sell for. That's their job, is to tell you what they sell for. Well, they sell for a lot more now. So by the revenue came over the legislature and tried to get them to pass something that would say the average of 3 years and said it was one. So everybody's property tax got an enormous hit. Personal property tax. Now, I think you're going to see movements that were sort of whatever, you know, and they weren't taken super seriously, are going to be taken seriously. Now, where's that money going to hit? It's going to hit on the schools, right? Everybody's complaining about the schools. Well, now they're going to try to take their money and complain about them. It's going to be kind of interesting to watch. In every governmental structure, there's a guy at the end of the line here that has to make the ledgers balance, right? Well, in this structure, it's Mike Parson. He has to make sure the ledgers balance. And so what he's going to have to do is sit down with the legislature, and they don't have to worry about things evening up at the end of the year. They pass their stuff and get their credit or blame, and they can move on. The governor's going to have to be like, guys, you know, these things have to balance out. The money has to make sense. I predict whatever property tax solutions come, the governor will be the one that has to be the adult in the room and the bad guy and say, no, that doesn't actually make, you know, those numbers don't equal out. Never fun to have to be the adult in the room. So we'll see. He has two Supreme Court picks. Now, here's the thing. Looking ahead to those Supreme Court picks. Oh, by the way, buddy Brad, hook me up. This is like a DOS boot Steinem knowledge. Awesome. Thank you, Brad, here in town. Look into the next two Supreme Court picks. There's one glaring problem with the Supreme Court. If you support the Missouri plan, if you support the Supreme Court as an institution, the geographic imbalance to that court is laughably ridiculous. And for a governor from Bolivar, it has to be almost borderline insulting. Because what you have right now is you have a court that is exclusively Jeff City North. Jeff said he's the furthest southern outpost of the Supreme Court. That is ridiculous. And look, people that have a blind that believe everybody in southern Missouri is hicks and idiots and are embarrassed of all of us, they'll tell you, well, Judge Powell's from Springfield. No, wrong. And I can tell you why. I know he's not from Springfield. He's a Royals fan. He's from Kansas City. And everybody knows there are no Royals fans south of Harrisonville or east of Blue Springs. There's just not. There are Chiefs fans all over the Midwest. There are Royals fans, the players' moms, and then a little tiny circle around Kauffman for about, let's be generous, say 20 miles either way. So Judge Powell, very good judge, very qualified, competent judge, but he is not from Southern Missouri. He's not from Springfield. He is from Kansas City. The blue hat gives it away. The geographic imbalance is, as a person who believes the Missouri plan is a very, very good way to pick judges, it keeps the state far more conservative than it would without it. It's very hard to justify that. Are you, you're telling me there's no law license south of Jeff City that could be on that court? No, I don't buy that. And I would say with one of these two picks, if you care about the Missouri plan and you care about the legitimacy of the court, because right now, if you're from Alton, if you're from Oregon County, you have adjudication without representation. They don't have it. I mean, while we have a lot of good folks in the cities, okay, there's some people from the cities. They have good folks from Hannibal on the court, good folks from Rockport. The issues in Rockport and Hannibal are a little different than those in the southern part of the state. And understanding those, I think, might be important. What if we just said no St. Louisans? Huh, what about that? Geographic balance matters. It matters very much. I remember Judge Gardner when he was, I heard a story from his interview with the governor and his staff. And he talked about there was a case that in the Eastern District Court of Appeals, he was a judge, a circuit judge in Cape, applying to be on the Eastern Court of Appeals, where they issued a ruling. It had to do with four-wheelers. Well, no one on that court had ever rode a four-wheeler. They had no idea how to ride a four-wheeler because they're city people. They don't. And he said this ruling ended up being factually inaccurate because not through any legal fault, just from a basic factual standpoint, they had no life experience of riding a four-wheeler. Well, I dare say if you grew up in West Butler County, we rode three-wheelers, four-wheelers, all things in the middle. That's something you do. You pick up if you're Judge Gardner. The fact is that the court, you may miss some genius lawyer from St. Louis, and that's very sad and unfortunate. But balancing that court out is important. Frankly, look at the Southern District. It is not the Southern District Court. It is the Springfield Court of Appeals. That's all there is Springfield people on there. You have one guy, I think, from maybe, he might be from Texas County. That's it. You have a Springfield Court of Appeals, and you have a Supreme Court of Northern Missouri. And with these two picks, it would surprise me greatly. The people that make these panels, you can say the Missouri plan takes politics out of it. That's just idiotic. But it does put some power in the hands of some statesmen who are experts on the issue. I believe they do a very, very good job. I believe they generally give every governor two choices that a governor of that party could conceivably pick and feel good about. And I think that's their goal, is to try to give every governor two choices on it for every opening that he could conceivably feel good about, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, feel good about appointing. That said, I think right now you're running very a very scarce line of completely flipping off half the state. And when you there every this thing runs on a cycle. Every 10 years, people make a run at the court plan for different reasons. And there's people that defend the court plan, and I would be one of them. But it gets awfully hard when you say anybody from my 4-hour drive from anywhere I live, they're all too stupid to be on your court. Now, then why do we have to go by your laws, right? If you're just too, I don't, St. Louis geniuses will run this state in the ditch every single time they let, they're trying to screw schools up now, and they're going to make a good run at it, I guarantee you, because rural people are too nice and accommodating, and they let St. Louis people run over them. But I tell you, that's something that I think Governor Parson, I think if these next two picks, if he doesn't have some qualified people from the southern half of the state, I think he'd have to feel a little bit, I think he'll have to feel like that's not a good year. It would shock me if one of these picks wasn't a woman. And that's not that I know anything, I have no inside knowledge. I just know that this governor and his staff have appointed women to high positions when they've been given the chance to over and over. The track record is very clear. When they have a chance to appoint a woman, they appoint a woman. That said, we'll see. I think the folks, the governor will have another pick on the judicial commission prior to these two spaces opening. he's got a pretty good track record of that. And I think you'll see someone from Southern Missouri, or if not, you will see a lot of folks begin to raise eyebrows at a system that is clearly racist against folks from half the state, geographist, whatever you want to call it. I think you'll see people really raise an eyebrow about a court that will start to lack legitimacy throughout this entire state. Speaking of governor's picks, I had a chance to visit with the new state treasurer last night. Hell of a good old boy. Smart. Oh, man. Smart as he can be. Could do the job, no question. I don't think there's any doubt Vivek Malik will be able to do the job and do the job very well. Now let's talk politics, right? That's what we're here to talk about. The politics are, his name is an odd name for Missouri. I would say that gives him, we're just going to talk, you know, when we visit here, we talk hogs, dogs, and logs. I tell you what I think. He's going to take, what I've found, though, is he's got an ace in the hole. If you meet him and visit with him, heck of a nice guy. Very nice guy. So it's going to take people sitting down, visiting with him, getting to know him, and that's going to kind of be the special sauce for him, right? Once you sit down and visit with the guy, he'll win you over. Now, politically speaking, how does that work? There's a couple tailwinds he has. One, I believe he can raise money. People that I know the difference say he can raise money. That's going to matter. He's going to have to raise that money quick. If let's say he puts $500,000 in the bank by April 15th report, that puts him in a very, very solid position. Number two, the state treasurer, frankly, is not the most sought after position in the executive branch. In fact, it's the least sought after. So for a lot of folks, you know, you want to run a whole statewide race, and when you win, you have a job that maybe is at the top of the top billing in state government. And it's you don't take my word for it. The last two guys that have been state treasurers, top accomplishment was they got out of being state treasurer and went on to other executive branch jobs. Vivek Malik will benefit from that. Also, it's very hard to raise money for a job that is not, I mean, when you're a state senator, you vote on issues that affect every industry in the state. When you're state treasurer, real estate and banking kind of care. That's the really your main people to do to raise money from. It's a small fundraising world to raise from there. So that'll be a challenge for Vivek Malik. It's also a challenge for name your random term limited state rep who also can't go raise money. So his chief challenge will be from someone. You usually have to be like in legislative leadership that's termed out, or that has a free shot in their Senate career, that can make a run at this and not be out anything, or they have their own war chest already built up. Because once you announce for treasurer, and let's say, I mean, a person that sprang to my mind that I thought, you know, could have been considered for the job, and the appointment was Cody Smith. Cody Smith, the guy from Joplin, he'll be termed out, solid, smart guy. You could just watch his mind begin to adjust over the last year and begin to explore other opportunities. And I think he viewed every politician, we talked last week about Scott Fitzpatrick, and I think it's condescending to say matured, but frankly, just got become a very good politician through doing it. I think you've watched Cody Smith over the last year, his mind and the way he phrases things and the moves he makes, you could just tell he's becoming more strategic and a better politician, frankly. He has his own independent war chest being budget chair. He could raise money all throughout next year because the budget that's done at the end of session. He's a guy that could conceivably raise money and do well. I could see him, if he wanted to run for state treasurer, because he has his own independent ability to fundraise, he could be a serious candidate. And you'll have some, you know, look, if Vivek Malik's on the ballot with a just bland named guy, that bland named guy's got a little bit of advantage in Missouri. Now, I personally think that if I could predict, I think Vivek Malik is going to be smart. He's a very bright guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see him strategically add to his team. And if he does have this fundraising ability, which I believe exists, you watch. I'll bet you he'll start to add some folks to his team. And that'll be you'll look up a year from now, Vivek Malik will have a very good chunk of money in the bank. And he'll have some folks on his team that you're not going to totally have seen coming. And I think Vivek Malik probably will run. And I'm going to predict you, against the Commission of Wisdom, I'm not sure he'll have a top-tier opponent. And part of it's the state treasurer job. Part of it's going to be his work. And part of it's going to be the challenges of coming in and raising money in that job. And you have to keep in mind, what a glorious benefit is it to have a blank slate, right? Josh Hawley could come in and run for AG. And whatever the time was popular, he could be for that. And that's not a knock on Josh. It's just no record is a wonderful thing. Vivek Malik doesn't have a legislative record. Vivek Malik can select his positions without having a historical road to look potentially hypocritical on. So that is a very big advantage that a legislator simply doesn't have. And I will give you the prediction. I think he'll end up probably not being opposed seriously in 2024 and probably serve there for 10 years. And if he's smart, I mean, you know, I almost look at it like if you're this guy, right? You have the opportunity because he has got a great personality. I mean, he's very warm, when people come in. I watched this last night. When someone would come over, it wouldn't just be a hi, how you doing? He would ask him questions, engage them, and they would talk to him. And he's very warm, kind of guy you want to be around. His story, he's got a great backstory. Backstory is as good as anybody in politics, maybe except Mike Kehoe's. but his backstory is outstanding. I personally think that there'll be a lot of talk, and when the dust settles, Vivek Malik will probably not be seriously challenged. And if you have the chance, as session unfolds, meet the guy. He's very personable, very personable. Just sit down and talk with him, and I think you're going to find what a nice guy. And I think you're going to enjoy meeting him, and I think he'll do a good job. And I think he's got the chance, because he has a 10-year runway, right? He's literally there for 10 years. I think he's got a chance to go build and help build up a conservative bench of common sense folks that he could help fundraise. I mean, there's two types of fundraising. Like Tony Lukemire is an epic fundraiser. He reminds me of Eric Schmidt in a lot of ways. He's so good at it because he pushes. He has to work it. It's like a field. He works it. It's a very good fundraiser when you have a Rolodex. Vivek Malik has a Rolodex. We'll see how he does for himself, but he could also give that Rolodex to some other folks and build a real farm team of people that, politically speaking, for him, or be loyal to him, which is good for him, but for the state and the party, could be very good. And I think you could see him be the guy that says, "Okay, I'm going to help develop this party. I'm going to help work on," because he has the one thing most people in politics right now don't. If you're in the House, oh my God, I got to do this to get the state senate. If you're in the state senate, oh, I got to run statewide. He has a 10-year runway that he will be in statewide office, and not a particularly demanding statewide office that he can take his time. And I think you can see him be I think he's going to surprise folks. I think he could be a big asset to the Republican Party. Let's talk about you're coming into town for the legislative ball. You're all geared up. Only one place to stay, Courtyard by Marriott. If you can't stay there, pretend you've stayed there. Show up early, have coffee, act like you're a pro. If you're a pro, you're at the Courtyard by Marriott. Come in and have a drink at the bar at night. Then you go take an Uber to your other hotel. Don't tell anybody. Just let everybody else walk off. You go to the bathroom on the first floor there, slide out the side door. You want to let people think you're at the Marriott, or they're just going to think you're JV and you suck. If you want to be a top flight guy next week, Courtyard by Marriott. It's the only way to go. Top hotel in Jeff City, new hotel. If you want to run into people in politics like movers and shakers, there's two places. Go over to the coffee zone over here, or the entranceway of the Courtyard by Marriott. If you want to happen to bump into movers and shakers, to important people in state government, to important people in Republican politics and Democrat politics throughout the state, hang out in that lobby of the Courtyard by Marriott. Sit at the bar there. You're going to run into people, anybody that you, if you sit there, and I told this to a buddy of mine, if you sit there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night for a week, you're going to see almost every single important person in state politics will come in and out of there throughout the week. So do yourself a favor. When you're making your decision, you want to stay at the Courtyard if you can. If not, pro tip, pretend you're at the Marriott. Hang out around there. Then, you know, go down to the slum that you had to rent because you didn't listen to me and book your rooms early at the Courtyard by Marriott. Again, I'll make the same deal I made last time. Check the prices. Sometimes it might be a little more. Sometimes it might be a little less. But look at my new handy-dandy wallet my mama got me for Christmas. Right now, you'd expect me to have cash, right? Google me. Right now, if you book a room in at the Courtyard, and it's a $20 difference, right? Let's say Capitol Plaza, which is awful. You're booking between the two of them, right? So if let's say Capitol Plaza is $20 cheaper, which it could be, if there's a $20 difference, book the Marriott. And if it's not worth it, you come find me, 225 Madison. I'll give you the $20 bill right here on the midweek update. But you're not going to do that because it's going to be worth it. You're going to be like, Fawn, I'm so glad it was a midweek update. I'm so glad I got hooked up. Courtyard by Marriott's where you want to be. Trust me, $20. If it's a $20 difference or less, you book your room at the Marriott. If it's not outstanding 10 on 10, you come to me and I'll settle you up and I'll make you whole. But you're not going to do that. You're going to buy me a beer and say, thanks, Fawn. Last but not least, there's a new wind blowing. The temperature rose last night. Throughout the afternoon, you could just feel an energy coming into downtown Jefferson City. Folks, it is morning in Missouri. Yesterday, as you know, there's been a scam that's been run by the city down here downtown. People have been persecuted for so long, picked on, abused by a greedy, lecherous city government. Government for the sake of just funding government, really. Guess what's happened? At 5 o'clock, every citizen of this town, the great city of Jefferson, got together. Every single citizen. And they all decided there's only one man that should be mayor. The entire city at one time endorsed a leader to be mayor of Jeff City on the promise that he will clean up the corruption. He will stop the petty theft and scams. I think it would be better if they just had city employees sit out and rattle cans for change than to do the meter maid scam. I think that would be more dignified. Ron Fitzwater at 5 o'clock is now unopposed. Filing is closed for mayor of the city of Jefferson. It's like a new wind. You could tell the Lord even smiled. Today it's 60 degrees and sunny. It's just a whole different approach to government. Instead of a government focused on taking pictures of itself and scamming its citizens, it might be a government that just works for regular people. It's going to be a whole new world. I'm so happy for the citizens. Now, again, there's about 2,290 some hours until he actually takes office. So we're all going to have to hunker down together. But we're going to get the next 2,200 hours together as a community. It's not going to be easy. I'm sure they're going to rip you off at every turn. Oh, my God. That city will be grabbing every nickel it can. They'll be shaking people down. But your redemption draweth nigh. 2,200 hours from now, a whole different city, whole different attitude. I'm going to buy him a broom because I can't imagine the job he has cleaning up that entire culture. Taking a city whose culture is focused on how much can I shake out of you to what can I do for you? It really, I think his speech could be, ask not how many nickels the city of Jefferson can shake out of a working person, but ask what the city can do for that working person. It's just a whole different attitude. The air is fresher. It's just a whole different environment. I really think it's going to be a terrific day. And I just think you've got a grown-up who is just going to run the thing. Are you going to get a parking ticket? Yes, you are sometimes. Of course you are. Are you going to get 7 in 20 minutes? No, probably not. I tell you, this is a toast to every single person in the city of Jefferson. Every single person who came together and in one accord and in one mind endorsed a great leader who I think is going to do very great things for the city of Jefferson. This parking thing, I mean, a guy like Ron Fitzwater will fix this in 20 minutes. I know they're already saying, oh, he can't touch us down at City Hall. We're bigger than any government. The people can go stick it. I think Ron Fitzwater fixes that problem in probably 10 minutes. And then there's so many other things to work on. But let's just say something doesn't happen. Speaking of leaders and patriots, Senator Justin Brown, Senate Bill 369. It's such a common sense thing. It takes a leader. Justin Brown's a farmer. He's just a common sense Missourian. It took this kind of common sense person to bring this up. If you drive up from Nixa, from Dexter, you drive down from Palmyra, you don't have to see another Palmyra massacre on your windshield of tickets. It'll have to be a post-certified cop, no mullet-wearing meter maid, within a mile of the Capitol. Only a cop can write you that ticket. What a marvel concept. That way. Here's the funny thing. The city of Jefferson is a very well-run city. It's bizarre to me how it ever got here, but it got here. I think really Justin Brown's bill should still move. I mean, I noticed the president of the Senate came right out and said, yes, this is a great bill. I anticipate him referring it on the day that he makes committees. I've spoken to the minority leader about this. I think he thinks it's a great idea. What you're going to come down to is, does the state have confidence Ron can fire these people? And I have confidence in him. But I can understand how some folks would be like, I mean, look, right now City Hall, they're like, oh, he can't do anything to me. I'm a bureaucrat. I outrank these petty citizens that are just people we should just rip off for money. And that city council, they don't tell us what to do. It'll be interesting to see if the bureaucracy is right, if they do hold sway, or if the people do. And I think if the people don't hold the sway, then I do think the state has to step in. I mean, it's kind of their job to step in. I'm a little control guy, but you don't do it through the whole town. You just do it through a little bit around the Capitol. So congratulations to Vivek Malik. I think you've heard my Stein of Knowledge prediction that he will run, and he won't be seriously challenged. He'll be challenged, but I don't think there'll be a top-flight, well-funded candidate. You may be surprised with that. I won't be if there's not. Congrats to the governor. What a heck of a year. Congrats to Senator Brown, probably the most consequential piece of legislation that's been filed. And congrats to everyone in the city of Jefferson for your decision, every single person here's decision. But there's only one leader that should step up and be mayor, Ron Fitzwater. We'll see you next week for a midweek update here, and then we'll be talking what's going to be on the television show next Sunday, because we're off again this Sunday. As you can tell, I get to laze around, don't have to get a haircut, don't have to shave. This is actually what it looks like if I don't shave for 3 weeks. I have facial hair like an Amish woman grows leg hair. It's just not great. Kelton over here is peacocking his beard around. But no, seriously, we're off again this Sunday. We'll be back next Sunday this week, and we'll be back here next Wednesday for This Week in Missouri Politics Midweek Update.